You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.
It's time to lean back and buckle in. This ain't your grandma's early learning podcast. Then again, your grandma probably didn't know what a podcast was. Hey, moms and dads, puppies and kittens, caregivers and advocates, it's time for Shaking Bones. Here's Dan and Amy.
Hi there. Welcome to the Shaking Bones podcast. I'm Dan Hodgins.
And I'm Amy Ahola.
In this episode, we're going to talk about some uncomfortable things that our children do that might put you on the edge. Amy and I are hanging out together to tackle the untouchables. Sometimes we might challenge your beliefs, maybe even stretch your comfort zone. Most importantly, make you think. We don't expect agreement or disagreement, but what we do hope is to cause some shaken bones. No, Amy, this is a subject that I think about often, because even now there are times when I might observe children doing things and I will question myself about whether or not I want to allow this particular type of activity or how far I want this to go. And a lot of that relates to not the child necessarily being unsafe, but more the fact that I'm just a little uncomfortable with what's happening for whatever reason.
You know, I think we all have our own personal limits. And, you know, I've been out observing in different classrooms and, of course, always talking over my own feelings and observations of things that happen within our own program. And I think we're continually put in a position to where we evaluate what's going on to see if we want to allow things to continue or if we're going to put a stop to something.
And I think some of that comes from our own personal experiences or lack of, in some cases, where we might not have been allowed to, for example, climb high in a tree. And so therefore, not having that experience, you might wonder how far we should allow a child to climb. Are they secure enough to do that? So some of those things that are from our own background sometimes might prevent us from allowing children to do things that they might be capable of doing.
Right. And sometimes, looking through it from our adult lens, we're seeing things differently than the way that the children are seeing something as well. And so we worry about the level of risk, or sometimes when it's not a physical type of risk, we worry about some of the social or emotional types of aspects of it that really they're not on the same path that we're thinking they might be on with some of their play.
Right. And I know some of the things that I've done to help me is that I know for a fact that young children cannot make their environment safe. That's going to have to be the adults that do that. So what I've been doing is evaluating in terms of myself, do I have enough pads for them to fall on? Do I have a fall zone for them to fall on? Am I able to reach them if they get stuck? So some of those I had to review myself in terms of developing a comfort level with myself before allowing children to make the risk. The other component is the more I experience and watch children, the better I become at recognizing how capable they are of doing lots of things.
Definitely. And one of the things that I look at too, Dan, when I'm questioning what's going on, rather than, putting an automatic stop to it, because that is like our number one reaction to things is like, oh, that doesn't look safe, or when you get emotional about things and you're worried that someone is going to get hurt, your natural instinct is to stop somebody from getting hurt. But when I have those types of feelings now, rather than putting a stop to things immediately, I just tend to move closer. Take a couple steps closer, take a deep breath, you know, survey the area, as you were mentioning, in terms of do I have what they need to make this safe? And it's really, a lot of times, it's a question of my judgment on that. Is it really a safety hazard? Is someone really going to get hurt? And I think, or is there the potential for someone to really get hurt? And it's that, and what are the benefits of what's going on? And the one person who continually comes back to me in regards to this is of course, Bev Boss, because it's like, would the world end if I allowed this to continue? I hear her all the time when I'm in many of these situations in terms of how can I continue to support this child in this exploration while making sure that the environment for them to do that is safe.
Right. And I think, you know, Steve, it's like, be careful, really are abstract and are more judgmental than actual concrete support, where you could say, hold on with two hands as you're climbing. It would be a more practical statement to make, and also guiding without, intruding, essentially, I think is important to do with children. I know that as I'm giving presentations, risk-taking, especially when they're not comfortable with certain things like climbing, is one of the things that's often prevented. So I try to get adults to think about what they're most comfortable with first, and then starting with something that would be similar to that, but stretching it a little bit so it includes a little more risk involved. Because as adults, we have to feel comfortable first if we're going to allow children to move into some risk-taking kinds of behavior. So if, for example, the child needs to build higher with the blocks, they might be more comfortable with the child standing in a chair than standing on the top of a counter, for example. So I know that if I said, go ahead and let them, stand on the top of the counter, many of them would simply stop. So I try to get adults to think about their own comfort level first before they stretch that a little.
Right. And, you know, it is important to make sure that we remain comfortable in the situation. And it's a matter of, yeah, you're going to have a little bit of uncomfortability. And each time it's going to feel more and more comfortable because it's that whole, as you keep doing the same thing over and over again, and it gets easier and more comfortable. And so it allows the children to, take that play just a little bit higher when they're on the chair. And maybe, for 3 months they're on the chair, and then maybe the counter becomes an option at that point, because they were safe on the chair and the counter could be an option later, because the children have developed their skills. You've gotten a little bit more comfortable, but you're not going to go, directly to the counter if you're not comfortable with taking those steps in that direction.
Correct. And I think that's part of it. Observation of children are absolutely crucial to me in developing a comfort zone about what we expect that children are capable of doing. And it's not a blanket policy, because you can't say that all children are able to climb on top of the counter and be safe about doing it because they haven't had the practice doing it. So part of it is looking at, we might say that Johnny is capable of doing it because he's been doing this for a while. He's had lots of opportunity for climbing, and he's doing it with some expertise, where somebody else might need a little more practice, where they might need a temporary ladder, they might need a temporary stairwell, they might need a chair or something so that they can begin to practice. My concern is that a lot of children aren't being given opportunities to practice any longer. So part of the safety consciousness of children, that gut feeling, I'm afraid, is going away.
Right, because if you don't give them the opportunity to assess the risk themselves and to, and to challenge that, then they don't have the experience. So of course they're not, they're not going to have that instinctual type of thing that we all that we have because of the opportunities we've had to assess risk.
Right, like jumping. I mean, it really does, jumping off of something really does require, and in some kids need lots of opportunities for jumping off of something, but we might start with something low. So it's kind of almost a coaching component where we're starting with something low, could be pads, could be whatever they're jumping, and then we increase it as their level begins to develop, and many times they will increase it themselves because they start developing that confidence. So it sounds to me like part of this whole challenge is for adults to become comfortable with some of the risk-taking that's involved. I'm wondering how you think that adults start practicing that comfort, because I think some of it comes with experience, right? I mean, just being around children. But are there other kinds of things that adults can do to develop a more comfort about risk-taking experiences?
Dan, I think it's just like we do with the children, where you're talking about starting with something low and working your way up. So, I think about some of my own uncomfortability with things. We had a little boy who loved to scale and climb the bookshelves. And these are 6 foot tall bookshelves in our play area, and he was really good
Wow.
at it.
Yeah.
But that was scary to me to have a toddler 6 feet off the ground on the top of the bookshelf. Granted, the bookshelf is, hooked to the wall and that type of thing, but it was a okay, I'm not comfortable with this, but there's clearly a child's need. And in some places that child would not have been permitted to climb, to climb at all. And there would have been a massive power struggle with a child continually trying to climb when, for that 30 seconds you're not looking or that type of thing. But when this continued to happen, it was like, okay, what kinds of things am I comfortable with? And it really takes a lot of self-reflection in terms of, okay, why am I not comfortable with this? What am I comfortable with? How can I meet this need that the child is clearly expressing? So, we brought some things inside that could be used for climbing. We brought in like a little jungle gym kind of thing. We brought in some indoor slides and that type of thing for climbing up and down. And eventually we ended up putting a loft in with a ladder rather than a staircase. Because that, provided the need that not only, because of course, once one child tries to climb the bookcase, then they all try to climb the bookcase, and
Of
not
course.
everyone is as proficient at it as others are. So, but really looking for ways that you can be comfortable with that. And now, if a child tried to climb the bookcase, I think I would be okay with it. I would, make sure we had a mat on the floor, and I would step closer, so I'm right there to help and assist if necessary. But when that first started happening, let me tell you, that was super uncomfortable, and it's scary to be uncomfortable and to think, this 18-month-old child 6 feet off the ground. That was not a comfortable couple of weeks for us here.
I bet. But what I like what you did is you recognize that the need still existed, even though you weren't comfortable. I mean, there's some comfort zone there, but at least you recognized the need and then looked at how are we going to provide that need in not only a safer way for the child, but also a comforting level for yourself. One of the things that I often do in workshops is I will have adults write down the things. Well, first of all, we write down the things that we know that children like to do, climbing, jumping, running, those kinds of things. And then on the other side of the paper, I have them write down how high is your comfort zone? What is your comfort zone for running, etc. And frequently, I'm always amazed at how little they will let a child jump or climb or run or push or whatever. And then we move it on to the next step is what will create a comfort zone that will allow you to let children do that. That is a real difficult step process for them. I think, first of all, recognizing what is important for children, and then putting in writing down what you're going to allow represents your safe, what your comfort zone is, and then to move out of the comfort zone is a really, really challenging component for many adults, because I think a lot of it, again, comes from the lack of experience. We're not really capable of observing what children are capable of doing and what they're not doing. Because I've seen some toddlers that can climb a 5-foot ladder easily without any trouble, where I've seen some 3-year-olds or 4-year-olds who can't do it very well. And a lot of that relates to the lack of experience that they've been provided with.
Right. And, you know, I think part of it, too, is when you're looking at what you're comfortable with, is this child obviously has a need and a desire to be high. And if Right. you want to make every day while that child is in your care miserable, you're going to continue to stop it or try to stop it, because it is going to be, it's a strong desire and need for them to, you know, to do that. So if you're trying to stop a strong desire and need instead of finding a way to make it comfortable, you are going to have a power struggle for a long period of time. So it might make you uncomfortable, but finding other ways to meet that need is going to make your life a lot less miserable as well.
Right, right. So I've been trying to think lately about if I think, and we might disagree, I think that it's okay if your gut says there's something about this that really makes me uncomfortable. The first step that I go through is evaluate whether or not this is me, or is there something in the activity that I think is too dangerous and might need to be changed. Do you find that you go through that process too? Because I have to be honest, there are some things that I see sometimes children do where my gut says, I'm just not sure about this.
Dan, I think everybody has everybody has their limits and their areas of gray zone where things are uncomfortable and we're unsure. And I think it's really important that we have a process to evaluate that when that happens. And I know, you know, in a recent episode, we talked about going from the emotional to the cognitive. So it's the same type of thing where it's like, okay, you're feeling uncomfortable. So how are you going to deal, you know, how are you going to deal with that uncomfortability?
Right. I often think about the example, I will watch children playing the ocean because I live by the ocean both times of the year, and there might be a riptide, and I know there's a warning flag out there that says it's a riptide, and I sometimes think to myself, some of these children have not experienced a wave that can drag you out, and I'm not suggesting that that's going to happen often, but there's something in me that says to myself, I'm wondering if I would feel more comfortable if they knew some things before they went out in the ocean. And then I have to realize, you know, when I was a child, I jumped in and I, you know, you just kind of look at, you have to have adults around who are looking carefully at what goes on in terms of that process. But those are the times when I sometimes get a little uneasy. And to be honest, there are very few times now that I'm pretty uneasy about some situations that children are involved with. But to me, if it's my gut says no, then I can evaluate it. And so sometimes I look at how can we change this experience to make it something that would be safer.
Right. And you know, we all have to make sure that we're doing that when we're concerned about a real hazard. Right. With young children, and a rip current would definitely be, a major hazard with the children that you are, you know, caring for. But in terms of, you know, really defining the difference between that hazard and that risk, it can be a difficult thing and a difficult place. And different people are going to define those differently, I believe.
And I think the key factor of what the difference between the two are is the comfort level of the adult. So part of it is as we allow children to take more risk and we become more comfortable with those risk taking, I think that we actually allow children to venture out more. Because my big concern, as I said earlier, is the fact that there are lots of experiences that children are not allowed to do anymore, and that it actually is preventing children from being safe or creating some safe behaviors. Because what I've observed is that more times that children have in practicing risk, they actually become safer with themselves because they experience some of the components and what works and what doesn't work. And when we prevent that from happening, then I think there are more accidents with children.
Dan, I think so too. And I think that's one of the reasons why when we're looking at how playgrounds are developed now, that a lot of the equipment that you or I got to play on as a child are being removed because they're considered hazardous now because there's been such a low level of experience with those types of things. That children go from, you know, I think about like the monkey bars that are disappearing or swings even sometimes are disappearing because children have not had an ability to have the experiences with them at a young age to develop their skills for a later time where they can do more risky things with them.
Yeah, and I keep thinking swings, somebody has probably always been hit by a swing, somebody on a swing. I mean, it's not like a new behavior. And part of it is figuring out how close to get to a swing. And I'm not suggesting we allow children to walk in front of a swinging swing. But I think it's important that part of that is experiencing what it takes to make it safer. And so, like you indicated, I think we're removing a lot of those practices on playgrounds, what we're doing inside of centers and homes sometimes. There isn't the opportunity for stretching our abilities and recognizing what we are capable of doing. So I worry about the lack of experiences so that children can develop those kind of safety skills. Bev Boss used to talk about, she's got an article about going out in the ice and now the ice ponds and that are all being fenced in so that children do not have the opportunity to know when not to be on the ice. If there's water, if you hear it crack, if you see a hole, those kinds of things tell you. And the fence now is preventing people from going out on the ice, and that the article indicates that there are more adults and children falling in the ice because they just have the lack of experience of what it takes to not get hurt in terms of those.
Right. And, you know, I think we could expand that to all kinds of different areas where, you know, we take away the baby steps and then just expect that people are going to jump from one level of development and understanding about something to the final end product. And it, nothing happens that way.
I know. Yeah. So I think part of what Amy and I are talking about in this episode at the end is that there are going to be those things that might stretch your comfort zone. And I think part of it is evaluating whether, observing children to make sure that they're capable, and in most cases they are, and then evaluating yourself about whether or not this is something from your own past that's preventing you from allowing children to take those risks, or is it really a hazard? And you have to evaluate that to really understand that and to practice it. Thanks so much for letting us shake some bones. If you have questions or want continued discussion, you can email me at dkj5075@aol.com or Amy at...
You can email me at amyahola@hotmail.com or you can find me on Facebook at Child Central Station.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
This has been Shaking Bones. Dan and Amy will be back next week for more Bone Rattling. Stay tuned.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.